Hey there, Wedding Pro. Are you using AI to its fullest potential in your business yet? Or have you been experimenting with ChatGPT with mixed results? I get it, and I figured out the hacks to get AI to help wedding pros elevate your brand, streamline your content creation, and more. And we're sharing it in our AI-powered Brand Voice Mastery for Wedding Pros guide, located in the Planner's Vault shop. This guide is filled with prompts, insights, and expert guidance on how to use AI quickly, powerfully, and accurately for your business needs. Whether you want to inject more personality into your copy or create more engaging social media content or communicate your unique value proposition more effectively, this guide is your key to unlocking the full potential of AI in your business journey. Grab your copy now at theplannersvault.com/shop. Or click the link in the show notes. Okay, friends, let's start the show. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a high probability that you're a small business owner, or you're gonna be one day. And I can speak from experience, starting a small business is not for the faint of heart. There's fear that you might not be the right person to lead a company. There's uncertainty that you'll never be able to make as much money as you did in your corporate job. There's doubt that anyone will book you, or that you can sustain the mental health hurdles that running a small business requires. If you're with me as a small business owner, congratulations on getting this far, and I see what you're going through. And today on the podcast, we get to hear from someone who went through all of these challenges, plus fundraising, plus scaling a tech company in the pandemic, and has figured out how to grow her business to where it's pretty well known in the wedding industry today. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'm excited to have you join me for episode 199 of the Weddings for Real podcast. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert! It takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings for real. My guest today is Randy Bushell, founder and CEO of Mary, the all-in-one platform that customizes your vision in real time, then brings it all to life in 3D. I first had a conversation with Randy back in 2020 and then met her in real life at Wedding MBA last year. And the demo she showed me blew my mind. And so many of the planners in my membership, the Planner's Vault, rave about how much they love it. Now, you might think that Randy came from the wedding industry or found a need for planners because she was one herself, but that's not the case at all. She began her career in e-commerce working with brands like Macy's.com and Jet.com, which was eventually acquired by Walmart. It wasn't until she was planning her own wedding that she discovered a problem.
And so there was one night in particular, I remember it vividly, like ordering our like day of decor in bed one night, and I had my laptop open and I was like cobbling together what I thought it would look like in PowerPoint. You know, that usually when I tell the story, this is when event planners start to like nod because you're all too familiar. And, you know, I Googled gray velvet tablecloth because we were having like different textured grays. Right. And then I went to Pinterest and I found some floral arrangements. We were doing all greenery and I grabbed some of those and I brought it in. And then I went to Minted and I found our menus. Right. So I'm like cropping and arranging and grouping, removing backgrounds. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, how is this how I'm making these decisions that cost a lot of money? And you really only have one chance to get it right.
So Randy saw the problem and thought she might be able to come up with a solution, but she wasn't exactly sure that she was the right person to make it happen.
I sat on it for a few months because anybody who knows me knows that I'm like incredibly risk averse. I never viewed myself as someone who would start a business. That's why I stay up all night, because it just makes me too nervous, right? About all of the things. So I never really thought that I would kind of start this journey, but I just couldn't ignore the opportunity. So after I got married in February 2019, I decided to take the plunge and I met up with the person who's now my co-founder, who is an engineer at Jet with me. I loved working with him and I brought him the idea and he was like, yeah, this is awesome. Let's do it. And here we are 3.5 years later.
Wow. Risk averse, scared of like taking that leap. I hear that a lot. And one of the things that sits with me is the number of amazing business ideas that probably are never brought to life. It kind of takes my breath away when I think about it, because I think there are so many great, amazing minds. There are people that see a problem and know what it would be to, like, they can see the solution. They sit on it and they sit on it. And then whether it's fear or overwhelm or the unknown or lack of time, like whatever it is that like never brings that to the surface. I'm curious what you would say to someone that is listening to this, that is probably like a lot like you were, right? Like risk averse and has the ideas and has said like, you know, it would be great if someone else would make something that XYZ, like that solves this problem. I'd love to hear what you would say to someone that may have their own idea that would transform, whether it's our industry or like some other industry. What would you say?
Yeah. So first of all, this isn't where you were going with this question, but what I will say is that there's so many good ideas out there, and it ultimately comes down to execution. And so if you think that you can spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, obsessing over bringing this idea to life, right? Not obsessing over the idea, obsessing over bringing the idea to life across kind of all factors, right? You have to do the boring work that nobody wants to do, but then you can do the really cool stuff of bringing it to life and working with engineers and designers, right? So if you can think about for the next 10, 20 years of your life doing this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and being able to actually execute on it and not wavering, then you should 100% go for it, because there is a very small percentage of people who actually will do it. And so don't be scared. Like, I remember early days, I was always scared that somebody else was going to like do this, like a new competitor was going to pop up, right? And then as time went on, I realized that the risk is all in execution, right? Like, it's just hard, like, for so many reasons. And so I realized that like, there's just not a lot of people who are willing to, or able to, whatever it is, like commit to all of the things that come with starting a business. And if you really feel so impassioned by this idea, you're in that small percentage of people who can, and that is the willpower and really like all that you need to get yourself through. Now, what I also will say, I'll get off my soapbox for a second, is those early days were my least favorite times of starting Mary, because it's the most unknown, right? And so for someone like me, who's risk averse and kind of a control freak, once we got it to a point where I felt like it was putting one foot in front of the other and we had a pretty clear path, that felt more comfortable to me than those first few months sitting in a room being like, what do we do next? Right. And it's funny, an event planner reached out to me a week or two ago who has an idea for an app. And she was like, I just want to pick your brain. Like, how did you start? And she was asking me a lot of questions about like legal entity formation and things like that. And I said to her, like, listen, these things are important, but they're not the business. But I remember being at that stage where you're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so just focus on kind of like painting the vision for yourself of like, what will this look like in 2 to 5 years? Build the execution plan of like, how do I just need to take it one step at a time, one foot in front of the other? And then if you are willing to commit your full self to it, then go for it.
I love that. And when you said that, like figuring out what the next steps look like, I pulled up this quote that I love. I included it in a presentation down at Brandy Garth Summit, the Wedding Pro CEO Summit. And it was, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. It's by Martin Luther King Jr. And I really love that quote, because I think about the brains in the wedding industry. And obviously, these are entrepreneurs. A lot of them, like, maybe are those wedding pros, those planners, and they feel like they have to have literally everything figured out, like the minute by minute timeline, step one through step 457, before that there's a level of perfectionism that is a standard that they hold themselves to. And I think that's part of the reason why a lot of these ideas may not get brought to life is if they can't identify step one through 400, then maybe they shouldn't do it. And I'm more of the belief of start messy, know that it will be messy and that you'll figure it out along the way. Like you'll take that first step and then that's going to lead you to see what the next step is. And then from there, you continue to grow and evolve, and probably just like Mary did, like what Mary was starting back in 2019, the beginning foundation of it, to the things that you continue to add and the feedback that you hear from users and the things that you thought would be super impactful, maybe very different than what your actual users are finding and loving about the platform. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, as with everything in life, I think it's a balance, right? So you can't overplan because you're going to waste a ton of time and throw it out 25 times over, because to your point, you just don't know what you don't know when you're first getting started. But even in order to know, like, what does that first step need to look like? You need like some semblance of a plan. So I agree with you, like, don't try to lay the perfect plan in 450 steps, but think about what are five things that I probably need to do.
Yes, yes, yes. I have this analogy that I've used. I was just talking about this this past weekend. I've definitely said on the podcast like four or five times, and it was truly like how I got through the pandemic and how I advised other wedding professionals to do as well. It's like, I like to imagine that I'm holding a stick, and I can throw the stick to a certain place and I can still see it. And I'm going to walk to that stick. And then I'm going to pick it up. I'm going to throw it again. I'm going to walk to it from there. Like, I'm not looking, I've got to run a marathon and it's 26 miles and that's big and heavy and hard and I'll never make it. It's just those small like movements forward.
I like that analogy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so 2019, you start this amazing company that's going to solve a problem in the wedding industry. You have this background in consumer buying habits and things are, you know, ticking forward. And then as we all know, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but as we all know, a pandemic comes and our industry comes to this screeching halt. I'm sure the effects of that on a newly formed tech company specifically for events. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we launched our beta in August 2019 with 10 venues in New York City. To your point, 6 months later, pretty much to the day, COVID hit and New York City was the first place to shut down and was one of the last to kind of come back. We were still really young, right? Like, we didn't have paying customers yet, but we were working for, you know, 6 to 8 months at that point, nonstop on like birthing something, right? And then, I mean, you just saw it in like our daily usage. It was just a flat line, right? Like, I mean, I joke now in hindsight, but like people were literally legally forbidden from doing the thing that we were trying to get them to do. And so I guess just for background, because it'll be helpful as I kind of talk through our experience, most kind of tech companies raise some sort of outside funding or outside capital. There's a lot of startup costs involved in building a platform, right? You have to pay engineers and things like that. And so we had raised our first round of funding. We went from just like me and my co-founder and one engineer to 11 employees during that time. That's what we were using the funding for. Obviously, when things shut down overnight, my priority as the founder was cash conservation, because at that point we didn't know how long this was going to last for. I mean, I did the kind of typical thing where I packed a carry-on suitcase with like 2 weeks worth of clothes and went to my parents' house, because we also thought like there were rumors that they were going to shut down the bridges and tunnels and they were going to like lock us in Manhattan. Like, it was a scary time. So, you know, I thought, oh, 2 weeks, it's fine, right? Obviously it was not 2 weeks. And so, you know, we had to make really, really tough decisions, and we ended up laying off like 60% of the people that we had just brought on, which, I mean, as a human being, you're laying people off into an economy where who was hiring during COVID. So that like emotionally obviously wore on me. You know, I wasn't paying myself. We like had to get out. Oh, the lease is a whole separate story, but I can touch on that later. But pretty much just like my whole mindset at that point was like, how do I make sure we survive? We went into survival mode. And I mean, I would never want to relive that. But in hindsight, now that we obviously know what's on the other side of it, we just went back into build mode, right? Like it was no longer, okay, how are we going to scale this? And how do we start acquiring customers? And, you know, all of the things that come with like, after you build the product, you have to actually build a business. We just went back into like, make the product better mode, and there's no distractions, right? Like we're literally locked our houses. Let's just build all day, every day. And I'm like, honestly grateful that we had that time in hindsight. Yeah.
Was there ever a moment 2020, you know, once we realize it's not 2 weeks, it's stretching into months, turning into a year. I'm curious if there was a moment where you're like, okay, obviously like the universe is telling me that maybe this isn't meant to be, and it's time to throw in the towel. Did that come across your mind?
So our lead investor actually called me one day. It was early days. And he said, listen, Randy, just shut down the business. Like I'll support the next thing you do. Like just shut it down, cut your losses. You know, it's not your fault. Like, no, you know, you don't deserve this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what? I was like, you just give up that easily? Like, that's crazy. And I obviously said no, you know, and we talk every day still. Like he's obviously still an important part of our journey, but I never felt that way. No, obviously, like I think some of it was a coping mechanism, to be totally honest with you. Like if I were to psychoanalyze myself, I think I just put blinders on and I was like, how do I just survive and make, to your point, like, how do I throw the stick every day, right? Yeah. Every day, how do I just throw the stick, keep the cash in the bank, keep it going. And I remember also we did like a strategy session. Again, we went down, it was like five of us on the team at that point. In that call, I looked at everyone and I was like, do we all think that this is a product that still needs to exist in this market? And everyone was like, yes, 100%. And I said, okay, do we all think that we are still the right people to build this?
Wow.
Yes, 100%. Okay.
Wow.
And we never really like wavered on that.
Man. That's really cool. What about like, I am kind of psychoanalyzing you as well. And I'm looking and I'm like, were you mental health wise? Like, what about that? Like you can love your business. You can pour into your business. You can see like, no, this is meant to continue to exist despite the hardships, but that's gotta be a pretty significant and heavy weight to carry forward for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Again, that's why I think it was a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. Like I was able to just put my head down and focus on like, how do I fix each little thing? If I like let myself think too much is when it would spiral. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I kind of just tried to focus on the things I could control as much as possible. But like, yeah, being a business owner, your mental health most of the time takes a toll, right? Like I'm
sure.
I don't know the stats, but it's like, you know, you're X percent more likely to have, you know, issues with your mental health or whatever.
Oh, so there's so many stats. Yes.
Yeah. And so like, it was hard. I was also living with my parents, with my husband. My husband works in hospitality. So his business was completely unraveling too. Yeah. I wouldn't want to relive it at all.
I won't make you go back too much, but a question that I like to ask when I'm having these kind of unraveling conversations is there anything that you might go back and do differently, or that you might go back if we could, this version of Randy, to tell, you know, 2019, 2020 version of you? Is there anything you'd do differently, or some piece of advice you'd share?
That is such a good question. I've never thought about this. Well, the one thing that comes to mind, and again, going back to, I think I was coping, was my continued desire to just take those little steps to keep throwing the stick, right? When maybe it would have been better to take like a leap backwards and rethink more of like the strategy and the core like product, you know? So we had all this time. Now, granted, we didn't know exactly how much time we were going to have, but I was just so like maniacally focused on like, okay, build this thing and this thing and this thing and stay on track and get this out the door. When I think maybe we would have built things differently if I took more of a longer term view during that time, right? Like when you're building software, you're typically trying to release new features on, you know, a 1 to 2 week cadence. So I stayed in that mindset, but I wonder if we would have done things differently had I been like, okay, we're going to take 6 months to like totally rethink this.
I don't know. Yeah. I wonder if that would have been the right thing or if that 6 months would have led to you like that pause to slow down to evaluate. You might have been like, nope, never mind. I quit. Like, I'm not saying that you would have been, but I wonder if that slowdown could have led to, instead of the like rebuild, go back, if it could have been too heavy to just push forward again.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. So here's something that I think about with when it comes to all the amazing tech that has come into the industry. Like when I was a wedding planner back in 2010, that's when my journey started. And there was no Canva. There was barely a Pinterest, honestly. It was not.
2010 is when Pinterest launched.
Is that right? Year. Thank you for telling me that. Yeah. Because it wasn't something that I heard often from. I got married in 2010 and I did not have a Pinterest board because it was May 2010. So there were so many things. Like there was no HoneyBook. There was no aisle planner. There was no Rock, Paper, Coin. There was no Timeline Genius. There was no Mary. There was none. There was none of these things.
It was pen and paper.
It was pen and paper and an email. Like basically email was around, but I have to look back at this, but like there definitely wasn't like Google Docs and things like that, that we were maybe, or it wasn't like really in the realm of being used. Like we did our timelines in a Microsoft Word document and we sent that PDF to our clients to review. Anyway, so many wonderful tech options have come into the industry over the span of however many years. I imagine that like you've built something that you're so proud of, right? Like it's continued to evolve. You hear the feedback and I hear the feedback too. So I was just on a workation last week with 18 of my Planner's Vault members. We do this thing where we have a house and we come and we work on like big projects and things. And I heard Mary talked about like we had a tech like discussion and I hear them saying like, oh my God, it's amazing. Like, it's so great. Like this is what I love about it. And like, let me show you this one floor plan. It was really cool to see that and to see people that have put their head down and said like, I can't handle one more platform. Like I can't show up in one more space, or I've been doing things this way. And the idea of switching to something else feels overwhelming and heavy. And when I hear that, I think, man, that's got to be the hardest part of your, at least from an outsider perspective, I see that as got to be like the awareness and the willingness to stop doing what you have been doing for something better, like that leap. Is that the hardest part of getting people onto the platform?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. There's like the psychological switching cost of this is how I do it now. Like I have to learn how to do it anyway, which I totally understand, by the way, right? Who has time? And it's exacerbated in this industry, which by the way, I was not prepared for, by the like extreme seasonality. So what we found this year, because 2022 was just so crazy, was Q1 was insane with new people signing up because you have the time, right? Once April hit, particularly we were less impacted by this with planners, but for our venue partners, they're not changing their tools and processes in the middle of busy season, right? Again, totally understandable. So we've had to kind of fight the attention battle of, you know, against busy season. And then we have this compressed timeline when people actually do have the time to implement a new tool. And we have to do all this work for everybody at the same time. So it's definitely put some like operational strain on our team because you can't kind of like spread the love throughout 12 months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if, I mean, you did a great job summarizing it. Like, I think the biggest challenge to bringing people onto a new platform is having to get people out of their comfort zone of like doing what they're doing. But ultimately that just comes down to like, you have to paint a really clear picture of why your world is better when you do change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right about the seasonality in general. Like that was there before COVID. But what I would say is even more escalated is that this year is bananas, right? Insane. Like it's bananas for the industry. And then you're right, the general overwhelm and burnout and like the day-to-day has people with that heads down, like I can't change one more thing right now. And that's got to be because I know Mary and I hear the rave reviews. And so it's like you're standing there and you're like, here it is. Like, this is going to make your life easier. This is going to level up your client experience. This is so many great things, but someone has to be willing to see the benefit over the fear of change.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at our signups every day. You can imagine, like, as a founder, you obsess over seeing your signups come in. And there are a lot of people every day willing to make the leap. And it's great because, again, I understand, like, everyone's busy. Like, I don't want to learn a new platform sometimes, right? I think I've actually been surprised, particularly with this year, how many event planners have still been willing, able, and excited about trying something new.
Yeah.
It was definitely harder to get the attention on the venue side this year. I just think everybody was so crazed.
And I think it speaks to like what you're offering and the fact that, I mean, I saw you down in Florida. That was our first time meeting, like in, met in Vegas.
No, a wedding in Bay last year. Yes.
Okay. Yes. But it was my first time seeing you do like you stand up and speak and talk about this platform that you've built and show some of the like things they were coming out live, like while we were there, like some of the changes that you were like, this literally just like my team just brought this out. Like, hopefully I can show you this in its entirety. And the reaction to those wedding pros that were seeing it, you could see it was almost like you literally see the light bulbs above their head being like, oh my gosh, like people have been talking about this, but now that I'm seeing it, this, I get it. It's like, and that had to be such a high for you in that moment.
It is the most rewarding part of my job. Yeah. Like, put me in a room like that all day, every day, like I'm happy as a clam. And it's funny because at the same points of every demo are when you hear the, oh my gods, or like, just like the eyes widen. Right. And obviously over time I've learned what those things are. I'm not an event planner. So even sometimes when we build these things, obviously we take feedback into account, but I'm surprised sometimes by the things that really hit and the things that people are like, oh, you know, it's going to go. And so those are my favorite times to like kind of pause and see people's reactions to like the level of detail that we've put into like, you can change how the napkin is folded, right? And like, you can change from like day mode to night mode to see the lighting impact, like those little things. And by the way, it drives my engineers crazy because the things that our users love the most are the easiest things to build.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we literally built this like crazy thing and nobody cares about it. And I'm like, well, yeah, you have to build the crazy like foundation to like layer the things that are cool on top of it.
Yeah.
But it makes them crazy.
I'm sure. Well, I have just a couple of questions left for you. And I know as we're recording this, this is leading up to Wedding and BA, where you'll be there, I'll be there, you'll have a booth. So you'll be demoing. I hope you get that same, like the ahas, right? Like people coming up and be like, okay, I've heard about Mary. I'm using this other thing. Like, tell me what this is all about. And I hope that I can almost like be there and see the like ding, ding, dings of all the light bulbs that I know are going to go off. But the question that I have for you is, as an entrepreneur and as someone that saw a problem and worked tirelessly to create a solution, I'd love to hear like a myth that you maybe don't agree with when it comes to entrepreneurship. It can be related to the event industry or not.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned raising capital, which is like a necessary evil when you're starting some businesses, and it's a brutal, I could have an entire podcast with you just
I know
on that
nothing process. About it, but I've it's eventually it's I'd love to hear more. Yeah.
It's brutal. But you got to do it. Right. Yeah. And so when you're just starting out, and oftentimes it's just a PowerPoint deck of like, here's my idea. Here's why I think it's a good idea. Here's why, you know, we're the right people to do this. Here's the size of the opportunity. Here's our business model, right? It's an idea on a piece of paper. You haven't proven anything, right? And so how is an investor supposed to gain conviction in you and the business and the market? The first thing that they look at is something that they call founder market fit. So is this founder the right person? Am I the right person to build a solution in this market, in the events industry? And it's just a way for them to kind of like de-risk the investment, right? Like, well, this person has been an event planner for 30 years. So obviously she is equipped to build software for the events industry is like a check the box, right? Like if the investment didn't work out and somebody were to be like, well, why did you invest in them? Like that's a pretty powerful kind of proof point. I planned one event in my entire life, which was my own wedding, right? And so I technically didn't have founder market fit. And obviously I kind of had to talk around that. And I actually think that my outsider's perspective has helped us. I think an outsider's perspective only helps if you're able to listen to and talk to the people who obviously know more about the subject matter than you do, right? Like I'm the first person to admit to anybody I don't know a lot about this industry, right? But what I am able to do is talk to people who know a lot more about it than I do and translate their pain points into technology. Mm-hmm. And so I think just like little decisions that we made in the product that like it's different than it's ever been done. Well, because we don't know how it's always been done, right? And that does sometimes play into the like, oh, I have to learn something new. But then people realize that like, oh, that actually makes a lot of sense, yeah. Right? That's one thing that always has kind of bothered me because I feel like it's something that's so like widely talked about, like you need to be the right person to solve this problem. And like in some cases that's true. Like I probably wouldn't be able to go solve like an extremely technical, like, I don't know, insurance. I know nothing about insurance and that's more technical and you probably need to like know more like hard information right. about that. But I think that if you have like a desire to learn and like never ending curiosity and ability to translate those learnings into something else, then most people should be able to figure it out.
I like that. And the way that that connects certain dots in my brain is as a newer wedding planner, I would get a lead from a couple and they would say, I'm getting married at this venue. And I'm curious, have you done a wedding there before? Yep. And if I hadn't, my heart would kind of sink into my stomach because my thought was, they don't believe that I am qualified to work there because I haven't worked in that space before. And I used to try to, and I think this is something that I think photographers do this really well as well. It's like painting the picture for them of the fact that like, no, my fresh perspective and outsider viewpoint is actually something to like lean into because yeah. I'm not going to take from a photography standpoint. It's like, I'm not going to take the same picture that the 40 other photographers that work here regularly take. Like I'm going to come in with a different perspective, a fresh set of eyes, and the product that comes from it will be better.
Yeah, that's the perfect analogy. Another analogy is like a lot of people become wedding and event planners after doing something else for a few years, right? And there's just a lot of transferable skills that you bring with you and have to start from somewhere, right? Yeah. And I mean, there's a whole movement right now too, not that this is totally related, of like teachers moving out of the education field and going to do something else. Like, yeah, you're a teacher. You know how to like control a group of people and you can manage a room.
Great planners.
Like, there's like, like so many things that you can do with those skill sets. Mm-hmm. So just relying on what somebody has like directly done in the past and not kind of layering on how can they kind of use that in a related but different way, I think is like selling a lot of people short.
Yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Okay. I want to ask you, as we're wrapping up this conversation, what you would most want someone that is listening to this episode that maybe they're going through a season of evaluating what comes next in their business. Maybe they're considering stepping into something new. Could we speak to someone listening to this right now that maybe is just in that place of like, what comes next? Should I do something? Should I not? Like, should I step into this new space? Any closing thoughts that we could lay upon them?
Something that one of my old bosses told me when we were going through COVID, and I was just talking to you about like, oh my God, right? Like this is going on. She said, you need to reframe your mindset and think about this as a chapter and not the book. Mm. And that just helped take a lot of the pressure off, because it made, I don't want to say it made failure okay, right? But it didn't make it seem like this was my only option in life. And if it didn't work out, then like, what am I going to do? Right? It's okay, like close out the chapter and then something will come next. Mm-hmm. So you got to commit to the chapter, but take some of the pressure off and know that nothing is necessarily permanent.
Yeah.
And as long as at least I feel like I've given it my all and didn't take any shortcuts, then I guess, you know, I'll be happy with whatever the outcome is.
I really like that. And I haven't heard that before. So think of it as a chapter and not the book. I like that perspective. And I think that speaks to people that may that have that feeling of perfectionism or, mm-hmm. you know, I have to do everything and I have to have it all figured out and I have to know all the steps. Like, no, this is a chapter and there will be failure and there will be setbacks, but it is not the whole book.
Yeah. And by the way, if anybody tries to tell you that they've never had a setback, I mean, stop talking to that person immediately. Yes. You know, yes. Like it's inevitable. It's you learn from it. You're never going to be perfect in anything you do, and certainly not the first time you do anything. Part of the book.
I agree. And I would add to that, Randy, like if you're ever talking with someone that says like they've completely masked, like they've, mm-hmm. they've overcome all of their struggles. And so they've said there were struggles, but they figured it all out. And now it's success and perfection and rainbows and unicorns. That's also a giant lie. Like you and I both would admit to the fact that the things, the limiting beliefs, some of the mindset shifts, we actively, as we're growing and as we're building what comes next, like we're still working on those things. It's never a check mark and move on perfection.
No, it's funny. Actually, my co-founder and I, whenever there's like one of those days where we feel like everything is going well, you're kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is super unhealthy, right? Because you also have to kind of celebrate the wins and be happy when things are going well. But there's never more than like a 2 to 3 day span where you feel like all the trains are on time, everyone's happy, everyone's so doing true. Like so it's true. 2 to 3 days max.
Yeah, you're so right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It also just that translates to raising children too. I've seen that too. My husband and I are like, high five, look at us, like great parents, everybody's getting along and cleaning up after themselves. And like, and then yeah, something always goes a little bit south for whatever reason.
Just part of the gig.
It's for sure. Well, Randy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and really keeping it real, getting vulnerable, sharing some of those aha moments that I know listeners will be like, oh man, like, yes, that is something that I needed to hear in this moment. I loved this conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Randy Bushell, who you can find at Mary on Instagram, M-E-R-R-I, and on her website at bemary.com. That's B-E-M-E-R-R-I.com. Or Randy, R-A-N-D-I, at bemary.com. By the way, if you're listening to this before Thursday, November 3rd, 2022, we'll be doing a follow-up demo of Mary in the Weddings for Real Facebook group, so be sure to join us there. And if you're attending Wedding MBA this month, Randy will be there in a booth at the expo, so you can check out the demo there as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can also find us on Instagram, where we're at Weddings for Real. Tag or DM us, and I'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.